Great news the other day, the Frisco City Council approving a $182 million renovation of Toyota Stadium. I mean, it's great news for FC Dallas that plays there. I think it's great news for the city of Frisco because it gives it, you know, sort of a center, sort of an identity. And it's great news for the Hunt family because they're co-owners of Toyota Stadium. Dan Hunt is chairman, president of FC Dallas and one of the aforementioned co-owners of Toyota Stadium. It's good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me today.
You know, I was looking at the drawing. The drawings are really cool. I mean, this place is going to be, I mean, cosmetically, it's going to look good. Tell me about the stadium.
Yeah, look, this is just such a massive leap forward for FC Dallas. When we first built Toyota Stadium in 2005, it was one of the third soccer-specific stadium. And for a long time, it was a trendsetter in Major League Soccer. You know, a lot of stadiums were modeled after it, a lot of different ideas. But it fell behind over time with these new buildings. And so we're building a new state-of-the-art soccer-specific stadium. If you didn't know the stadium, the only giveaway would be the South End, which is the Hall of Fame End, which we did in 2018. Yeah. But brand new roof structure, shade, brand new west side building. It's going to have 57 suites in it, up from 22 right now. We're going to have what really will be 6,000 club seats. They have exclusive access to clubs. East side, the whole thing is coming down to, and we're going to rebuild that with an all-new club on that side.
But, you know, first of all, it's hard to believe it was almost 20 years ago it was put up. I mean, 20 years ago, I really thought I'd get a nosebleed if I went that far north. And now, I mean, you're sort of in the center of North Texas, and it's developed all around you. So, and also, soccer has really evolved. I mean, that massive contract with Apple, $2.5 billion, that's really called attention to your sport. And women are playing. I mean, this is a different. This is really a lot different 20 years later.
Yeah, it really is a lot different. My dad, before he passed away in 2006, he had some things that he talked about and shared with Clark and myself. And he said, look, guys, we were early in Frisco, but I put you guys in the right place. Frisco will be the epicenter of the Metroplex. And he was exactly right about that. And he also said, look, take care of your stadium and it will take care of you. To date, we've already spent $50 million on maintenance and capital improvements on this building, which the city has no obligation to, and the school district gets the benefit. Those were all big ones. And then the last thing was, hey, taxpayers deserve a return on their investment. So that's why we keep this thing booked nonstop.
And it is booked nonstop. I mean, I remember during COVID, it seemed like they were playing there was a football playoff game there every weekend through the winter, and major concerts that are going on like crazy. But see, it seems to me like the development around the stadium is what ought to get the people of Frisco excited and the people of the area, because it'll really become sort of an epicenter of activity. I mean, beyond just soccer games.
Yeah, I mean, we've done economic impact studies most every year, and that ranges somewhere between $130 and $150 million a year in economic impact right now today. Some of these events alone are sort of $5, $6, $7 million economic impacts. But, you know, we're going to bring even better events in this new building. We'll be able to generate the revenue that artists need or that we need for football games. We'd love to have a kickoff classic, but we're going to spend over $1 billion on the real estate around the stadium. We're going to build an upper upscale hotel, residential tower, 30,000 square feet on the east side. On the west side, 1.2 million square feet of Class A office.
Yeah. This is, I mean, I see this going on in Arlington with what Cordish is doing out there with Texas Live, and I see it going on a little bit around the country. But in the case of Arlington, and I think in the case of Frisco too, it's sort of giving that community a downtown which has never existed before, you know, a center.
Yeah, we're tying it all together. That's really the truth of this. You got Roller Town coming in, which is great, you know, for Ben and Skin and those guys. That's going to be a nice project. You have the rail district, which is great. And then you have all the downtown stuff that's happening, the big renovations there, the parks that are going in. And look, Frisco Square, too, is this will, I think, really reinvigorate Frisco Square. And, you know, this is not the first time this has happened in Frisco. You got the Star, which has done it so well. The PGA is doing. I mean, that PGA development's $10 billion. And it's a lot of land, obviously, and those things that go with it. But Frisco's figured out the model.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, overall, it would seem to be, and your family is so deep into the sports business, I just can't imagine a better time in history to sort of be in the sports business. All of them seem to be hitting. And like I say, the growth in women's basketball and soccer and everything else is just phenomenal. That adds, and soccer, it really seems like it's getting the roots that we've been thinking it would be getting for, you know, the last 40 years or so. The contracts are good. It seems like there's tremendous momentum. Is it gambling? Is that what it is? There's some momentum builder there.
We've been in such a long economic boom that I think there's so much money to go around. And it's still the international investment that's coming into the United States and the wealth generation in this country. What it's caused is the ability, first off, the ability, but the interest in sports ownership is so different now, because you got to have investors. You got to have that core strength. I mean, that's why MLS survived. Right. You had Lamar Hunt, Phil Anschutz, and Robert Kraft willing to take 10 teams at the darkest moment.
Right.
And now you have everybody lined up out the door to get one. NWSL was doing great, which is fabulous. WNBA, that is the greatest draft of all time, probably. And how exciting that moment was this year, the interest that garnered for that sport. And it's awesome to see women's sports having this great moment. And I think it will be sustained because, you know, there's just that the population is willing to spend on different entertainment activities and those things. And 20 years ago, we probably weren't ready. And I always say this, the U.S. women's national team is probably the greatest sports dynasty of all time.
Really?
Just look at it from 1990 to 2024. Yeah. Look at the volume of work, the four Women's World Cups, the countless gold medals, winning every other tournament you can ever imagine, and these global superstars that are the very best at their sport.
Maybe that's been the impetus, because I remember back a long time ago when your father had the tornado, and one of my best friends in college who I graduated with was drafted by your father and played for the Tornado, Kyle Rote. And Kyle Rote Jr. We'd go to games, and there'd be jillions of little kids running around there, and that's what they talked about, is there were tens of thousands of children, you know, in North Texas were playing soccer, so this sport can't fail. But they grew out of it, and the parents never got sucked into it. You know, it seemed like the nucleus has been there for a long time. Now it catches hold.
Yeah, it has. The nucleus. I think there was the selling yourself that, you know, they'll stick with it all the way through. And frankly, the NFL so strong, NBA, MLB so strong at the time. Hockey has had a significant jump from that moment in time. And then sort of the extreme sports, if you will, of all different kinds and lots of competition. But we're now producing top talent. You're talking about Kyle Rote Jr. I mean, what a fabulous player he was. People don't understand, he was a generational athlete, and he won that sports contest show where he
was the superstars on ABC. You're right.
You bet. Didn't he win it twice? Yeah. I think, that alone is amazing. But there wasn't that admiration and understanding. Now we're starting to get a lot of great athletes play. But the day that MLS can get those kids to pick soccer over football, and we're starting to see it, but you get the kids that can play corner in the NFL, wide receiver, whatever, or play point guard in the NBA, and they're picking to play soccer, that's the day the U.S. men's national team is going to have a ton of success.
So back to what you're doing in Frisco right now. So when does the dirt start flying, and when do we get to see that big edifice?
Yeah, so dirt will start flying in January or February of 2025. We're going to start on the east side of the stadium, and hopefully we'll be done in May of 2026. And we're also going to start working on the north side of the stadium, and then we'll flip-flop. So our fans that are going to be in the west side and south side, we'll move the fans on the west side over to the east side, and then demo the west side starting in about, you know, May, June of 2026, and hopefully be done December 27 or January 2028. And it's really important to us to keep our fans and have them here again. We'll have 11,000 capacity, and we want to do that because this is our home. This is what our fans know. This is the home for our players, and this is good for the city of Frisco. Their businesses are counting on us having events.
Well, I know you'll be intimately involved, because I saw the families on the hook for any cost overruns. So
Well, we're on the hook for $65 million,
Well, that too.
in this and any cost overruns that go with it. And then, the lease will run through 2057, and we expect maintenance and capital improvements to be between 100 and 150 million that we will pay out over those years.
Wow, that's a major employment center too. Well, it'll be fun to watch it develop, and of course, you can keep an eye off the tollway and watch it grow. And so one last thing, I guess, is it conceivable we could talk you and the family into bringing the Dallas Texans back? I mean, we could, you could call them the Chiefs still if you want to, but
Mayor Johnson was talking about that a lot, and obviously the Cowboys are such a successful brand and had so many great teams and so many great people. I mean, it ebbs and flows in life, and I think there's actually a ton of talent in Dallas here, so it'll be an interesting football season. And Chiefs are off to a great start, although the injury bug has already gotten us early on, and you hope you can recover from it. But isn't this the beauty of the NFL? I mean, this hard salary cap, where if you draft well, which the Chiefs have done exceptionally well, Cowboys drafted well, there are other teams out there, their teams have not drafted well, but if you draft well, you have a chance.
Well, I mean, you're proof that a smaller market city can take on and excel, over the big markets.
Yeah, you just got to have a top eight quarterback. That's really the truth of it. And if you can do that and have some offensive talent and be middle of the pack or better on defense, then you have a legitimate chance to
win. All right. Well, look, if they ever stop treating you right, you let me know. I think I could broker a deal if you want to come back. Good luck in Frisco. We thanks a lot. Dan Hunt is the chairman president of FC Dallas. Good to have you with us again.
Thank you.
Thanks. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.